we're talking about light trespass here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Street lights, car lights, home and garden lights, illuminated billboards, all are prone to giving off this unwanted light that's not shining in the right direction or at the right intensity. And a study in the journal Science Advances found that basically all Americans live with light pollution. 4 out of 5 people on Earth live with the problem of artificial light taking over the darkness. Have you had to deal with a neighbor's light encroaching on your property? What did you do about the situation? Do you think streetlights or other outdoor lighting is too bright, or do you appreciate bright outdoor lights? Join in at 800-642-1234. Don Sanford is an outdoor lighting consultant. He worked at Wisconsin Public Television for 30 years, where he was a volunteer manager and production manager working on lighting and location. Don, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. How are you today?
Doing well. So help us understand, what is light trespass?
Light trespass is when light that is intended for lighting one area spills over and goes someplace else that it's not intended to go.
All right. So if you have a street light right outside your bedroom window, speaking from experience in my past house, shining right into your infant's bedroom, there's an issue there. That is light trespass.
That's right. And it's a unintended consequence, I guess, is the best way to describe it. And it's very much akin to going into your living room and just taking all the lampshades off. The light isn't any brighter. It's just going the wrong way. Instead of being focused down, it's now going helter-skelter.
How does light trespass contribute to overall light pollution?
That's where light pollution comes from, because instead of having light focused at a subject, at a parking lot, at a front porch, at an architectural feature, planting on the outside of your house, instead of being focused at that, it's instead released to travel straight up. And that's what people typically think of as light pollution, is that light is going up into the sky. And, the Martians already know we're here. We don't have to send them signals. They already know we're here. So it's just wasteful. It's just plain waste. It's annoying, and it's wasteful to send light up into the sky.
Don, do you think light trespass is worse than it used to be? Is it getting better, worse, stabilizing?
I'd say it's stabilizing. I think people are more aware of the problem, and I think manufacturers are starting to market fixtures that control this light trespass. And one of the things there are two things that I think are important here. It's not the brightness. It doesn't matter. You can put a lower light bulb in a bad fixture, and it's still going to be bad. And it's not the source. You can think you're doing a great thing for the environment by buying an LED fixture, throwing out your old incandescent fixtures and buying an LED fixture. If the fixture is improperly designed, it's still bad. You're still not doing anybody any favors. You're just spending less money and still doing something bad.
So you really not only have to think about illumination and about what kind of light you put in and screw in, but you really have to think about the actual fixture itself.
That's right. Because if you can see, one of the ways to know if you're creating light pollution or light trespass is walk across the street, walk over into your neighbor's yard, or if you live on a lake, go half a mile out into the lake and look at your house. And if you can see the light source or the source of the light, not the effect of the light, which is, the light hitting the ground, but if you can actually see the light, then you've got light trespass. You're a trespasser.
We're talking about the impact of what is called Trespass Light. Don Sanford is an outdoor lighting consultant. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you taken steps to make sure your outdoor lighting isn't bothering your neighbors or perhaps bothering wildlife? What tips do you have to make sure your lighting isn't too bright? What questions do you have about how to make sure you're not contributing to light trespass or light pollution? We're at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Joe now, joining us from Nina. Hi, Joe.
Hello. I absolutely agree with the point being raised here. I live on a lake, and I live in the city, and there are people who buy sodium vapor lights who think they have to be eternally secure. They're afraid of anything coming on their property. But what they fail to realize is that there are side shields. There are devices that direct light downward on your property, and all you'll see on the lake is the glow of someone's property, but it will not spill into the sky. I suggest they go to a website of the IDA, International Dark Sky Association, and they'll learn what kind of devices can be purchased. But I do not appreciate a neighbor who puts in LED lighting and fails to put in side shields. Right now in the city, I do have neighbors like that. And you just see such a bright light, and there's no need for it. You can light your property with the proper lighting fixture, as was pointed out.
Joe, thanks so much for the call. Don, what about side shields? What do
do? They are most commercial fixtures come with side shields as an option. For whatever reason, the most common fixture that are put up on commercial buildings are things called wall packs, and that's a fixture that is attached to the outside of a building. It looks like a glass box, and the proper wall packs have a metal cover that come right down to the bottom of that fixture, so that the light is forced to go straight down. But that's an option, and a lot of times the installer or the architect, whoever specified that fixture, misses that option, and you create a light bomb instead of a beautiful lighting on the outside of a building. The other place where you often see these issues is we call them bollard lights. They're these posts that are maybe about waist high, and they have a opening at the top with sometimes some louvers. But the louvers are not always installed, or they're installed improperly. Instead of the light being forced down onto the pathway, it goes out horizontally. And those things are conveniently, I say sort of with a wink-wink, they're at a convenient height. So if you're in your car and you're driving by, they're exactly at eye level for a driver. And you drive by one of these poorly installed fixtures, and bang, you get hit right in the eye. And when you get a bright light shining into your eyes like that, you're temporarily blinded. It's very hard to see.
Let's go to Jenny now, joining us from Germantown. Hi, Jenny.
Hello. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind about light trespass?
I have a neighbor who has a security light that goes on and off with motion detection outside my bedroom window. If a rabbit runs across the street a mile down the road, that light goes on, unfortunately.
Oh, dear.
I counted 43 times one night before I got so frustrated that I just stopped counting. It wakes me up all night long, and I do not want to have to resort to light blocking shades because I like to wake up to the sun in the morning. So is there any legal recourse for me with this?
Don, what are regulations are there regulations for light pollution?
Yes. Yeah, most municipalities, there are regulations about light trespass. But sometimes they're hard to find. Talking to a neighbor who has a bad light is like telling somebody that they've got bad breath. It's one of the most uncomfortable things you can do. And so you turn to a building inspector because, you know, that's what these people do. And I looked at several lighting codes. I mean, here in Madison, our the ordinances about light trespass are tucked into zoning code. And the way you can find those sometimes is if you just go to your municipality's website and find the code of ordinances and do a search in there under lighting, and it'll be tucked in there. And there are measurements. The way that this is determined is that an inspector will come out with a special light meter and will stand at the property line, and there are measurements, foot candle measurements, that will indicate how much light can come across the property line. And usually it's in the order of one or maybe three foot candles, which isn't a lot. Or sometimes the ordinance will be written to say that you shouldn't be able to see the source or its reflection from the other side of the property line.
So you're saying that they'll actually take measurements to see exactly how much light is spilling over?
Right. There are measurements, and there are building codes, just like there are codes for everything else about sidewalks and the construction of a building and the way the parking lot is marked. There are codes and there are ordinances that are written to detail and describe what light trespass is and how much is allowed.
Outdoor lighting consultant Don Sanford is our guide as we talk about light trespass. Have you ever been out in nature with no artificial lighting at all? What was it like for you to see the night sky in the absence of any light pollution? Did seeing a part of the world without any light pollution change your thoughts on how much outdoor lighting we need? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll be back to this in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. Our world is lit by electricity, and there are some words to describe different light pollution. There's over-illumination, light clutter, sky glow, light trespass. We're talking about light trespass here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Unwanted light creeps onto someone else's property or into another person's window, so you may have a light on your back patio illuminating your backyard. If some of that light creeps over the fence, shines into your neighbor's living room through a window, your backyard light is trespassing on your neighbor. Have you had to deal with a neighbor's lights encroaching on your property? What did you do about the situation? Do you think street lights and other outdoor lighting tends to be too bright or not powerful enough? Does outdoor lighting make you feel safe? Join in at 800-642-1234. Outdoor lighting consultant Don Sanford stays with us. Don, we had an email from Emmanuel in Strawberry Point, Iowa, and he said, my city went from mercury vapor to sodium vapor to LED. And he said, I'm glad we are back to blue from the orange of sodium vapor. Each change resulted in reduced electricity use. Can you help us understand which of these, what's going on here with these different types of light?
Well, the LED light, of course, is the most modern advanced light source and uses far less electricity than anything else that's been there before. And using less electricity is one thing, but it's all about the fixture design. Because an LED fixture is designed to put out the same number of lumens, the same brightness as a sodium fixture or a mercury vapor. They're designed to put out that same level, deliver the same amount of light onto the street, for instance, but it's in the fixture design.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so critical. I've been in towns where they remodeled their downtown lighting and put in these wonderful fixtures that used I think they were sodium vapor, I can't think what the source was, but anyway, it was an improvement for them. But the fixtures are so poorly designed that they created all this glare. And the glare is the term when light shines in your eyes or in your bedroom or goes someplace or it goes up where it's not supposed to go. That's glare, and that it doesn't matter what the light source is, glare is bad. And the thing is that you know this intuitively when you're walking down the street or driving down the road. You know it when a light shines in your eye. Holy cow! Look at that light just shined right. That's glare, and that's not good lighting.
Let's go to Doug now, joining us from Loganville. Hi, Doug.
Hi there. I just want to make a comment. When I was much younger, growing up on the farm, so I'm one of a really, really big hill in Sauk County. And if you went out on a clear night, you could see the stars like you'd never seen before. And it was amazing. So much so when I got a little bit older and got married, I took my wife out to the same spot on a nice clear night to show her the stars. But, you know, there's a glow from the towns all around. In every direction, you can just count Reedsburger, Loganville, or anyway, those had gotten much brighter over time.
Doug, thanks so much for the call. And it's, you know, Doug can reach back to his childhood and remember much darker skies. Mm-hmm. Is it light trespass to blame?
Yes, definitely. And another way to think about this is the next time you're flying, you know, you jump in an airplane, you fly across the country, and you fly over a city at night sometime, and you look out the window, and a light is shining up at you. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. Why is somebody paying good money to send a light 10,000 feet up in the air?
Right,
you know,
yeah.
And that light contributes to sky glow because the light source, it's uncontrolled, goes up and reflects off the moisture in the air, and that's what creates this sky glow that we see.
You're out on the lakes a lot. What does it look like from your vantage point from, say, Lake Monona or Mendota as you look back to shore?
I took someone out on a boat ride one night trying to explain light trespass to them, and it was a hard sell. Didn't quite get it until we were coming up to her dock, and she lived in an area up on the north side of Lake Mendota where it's pretty dark. And her husband heard us coming in the motorboat and flipped on the yard lights. And instantly, we were blinded. I mean, by then, we'd been out in the lake for maybe an hour, and our eyes had gotten used to this darkness. And he, thinking he was doing a good turn, turned down the lights on the outside of the house. Boom. All of a sudden, we were bathed in light. We were like deer in headlights. And she looks at me and says, I understand now.
You have this background in theater, TV lighting. How did the issue of light pollution come to your attention, and why did you decide to pursue this?
Well, in theatrical and television lighting, if you want to see something, if you want the audience or the viewers to see something in a scene, you point a light at it. And if you don't want them to see something, you trim the light off so it's only lighting that. And in a theater, we're trying to send light from a lighting fixture that's 20 feet away down onto the stage or onto the set. And so controlling the direction of light is critical in that line of work. And a friend of mine, David Liebel from UW Extension at the time, was working on a project, and somehow we got together. I can't remember, but he said, I'm trying to understand this. And so we connected, and it was I discovered that at that time that outdoor lighting is just like all the other work that I have been doing during my career, except it was a whole new stage, a whole new venue.
So if you're feeling like you're a trespasser, is it possible to modify the lighting you already have instead of buying new fixtures or new lights?
Yes. Yeah. It's in some cases it's easy. Sometimes, you know, I've helped people modify existing fixtures with, sometimes we've used a little bit of aluminum, especially the aluminum roof flashing works well. I mean, you want to turn the fixture off and you know, you want to be careful. You don't want to start running screws into a light fixture that might be energized. But you can add shading to it. You can't really paint out the lens on fixtures. Paint on glass just doesn't work very well. And sometimes it's just a matter, we retrofitted a parking ramp. We helped the owner retrofit a parking lamp that was creating incredible light trespass onto Lake Wingra. And all it required, I mean, there were maybe 25 light fixtures in this parking ramp, 30. And all it required was two guys, a stepladder, and a couple of wrenches. And they just adjusted these fixtures. And in the matter of an afternoon, the problem was solved. It was just... So sometimes the solutions to this are really simple and don't require a huge capital outlay to make everything better.
Don, as we wrap up here, what would you tell city leaders as they look to replace streetlights, street lamps, and how they're installed in neighborhoods?
You want to make sure that all the fixtures that you install are full cutoff. And there are descriptions of, if you just Googled full cutoff lighting, or another booklet that was published by Extension called Sensible Shoreland Lighting. If you Google either one of those subjects or you visit the International Dark Sky Association's website, you'll find model ordinances, you'll find samples, drawings, photographs of good lights and bad lights, full cutoff fixtures, and that will really help you as a person struggling with this. It'll help you understand that you're not alone, that this really is a problem. It's just not, and there is a solution.
Don, thank you for joining us.
Oh, well, thank you for inviting me, Kate.
Don Sanford is an outdoor lighting consultant, worked at WPT for 30 years, where he was a volunteer manager, production manager, working on lighting and location. Coming up, it's news that a Dane County family recently won a multi-million dollar settlement from the state's Medical Malpractice Insurance Fund. We'll discuss the case and the law that limits medical malpractice awards here in Wisconsin. Stay with us. News is next on the Ideas Network.